Turn with me to an Old Testament prophet by the name of Zechariah. Chapter number 4. Zechariah chapter 4. Before we read, let's bow our head and ask God to help us in this part of the service. I thank you, Lord, for your presence that we've already sensed and felt in this time together of worship and praise and fellowship. So we open up your word tonight. I pray that you would make the application clear to each one of us. Pray that you would speak to us through this message. Perhaps in its simplicity, we'll be able to understand the importance that is before us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Zechariah chapter 4, beginning with verse number 1. I'm just going to read the first 3 verses. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me, as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it. And his 7 lamps thereon, and the 7 pipes to the 7 lamps, which are upon the top thereof. And 2 olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. You may say that there's not a whole lot to preach out of there, or from that particular passage of Scripture. But let's take a little notice at what is taking place here, or what is pictured here. Try to picture it in your mind. It'd be nice if I were an artist to be able to draw it for you on a board up here so that you could picture it the way that I'm picturing it. But here we see, first of all, that there is a golden candlestick. It's all of gold. Wouldn't you like to have that decorating your living room? Especially if it was yours and not borrowed. This golden candlestick had a bowl on it. I suppose the bowl would represent some kind, or would be used as some kind of a reservoir. A container in which to store or to house the oil for the candles. There was 7 candles or candlesticks. There was 7 pipes go into these 7 candles, 7 lamps, as it says here. Now, there are some figurative things that we normally look at in the Old Testament that compares either to the New Testament or it compares directly to our lives today. I would like to take the comparative of this picture. You see the candlestick, it has a bowl, it has 7 lamps, somewhere in the midst there is 7 pipes. And from that bowl, there are 2 golden pipes that come over to the olive trees, one on the right side and one on the left side of this candlestick and bowl and 7 lamps. You understand what's taking place here, don't you? There's 2 trees that produce oil, olive oil, and it's flowing into the bowl. Then the bowl, that oil is transported then somehow through these other tubes, through these other pipes, to the lamps that are lit. The lamp would be symbolic of the church or the people of the church. The recipients of the oil from the oil trees, the olive trees. Now these olive trees are, I believe that it would be understood that these two olive trees are real live trees, right? That's the only way you're going to get oil is out of a real live tree. It's not going to be a fake tree that sometimes you might see on a church platform, or might even have a fake tree in your home. I don't know. These are real live trees. Now that live tree would have its significance because it's a perennial supply of oil. Could we use that as symbolic nature, in its symbolic nature, to God Himself? Providing what is necessary. Then we find that the oil itself is a complete different part of the subject. It's not hard for us to understand what that is symbolic of, is it? We've heard it time and time again that oil symbolizes the Holy Spirit. You see, it's the oil that is the only thing that'll make this candlestick shine with the light that it was intended to shine with. It's not hard to understand that at all, is it? Take out all the bulbs from one of these hanging light fixtures, and you can turn the light switch on all you want to, and there's no light coming from that. Or leave the bulbs in and clip the wire. You can turn the light switch on all you want to, but there's no light coming from the fixture. Oil is the only thing, the oil of the Holy Spirit is the only thing that will cause the church or the people of the church to thrive and to shine the way God intended it to shine. We must hang on to that. We must grab that and grasp that and understand that and hold to it. It's the only thing that'll help us to shine. You know, there's some people that are born with abilities more than others. I can point to a lot of people that are born with seemingly untold amount of abilities. But I've also seen that how they can get wrapped up in their abilities without the oil of the Holy Spirit, and it's just not effective. There's something wrong. There's a ding instead of a ring. So we see the lamp is the church, recipient of the oil. The oil is symbolic or a type of the Holy Spirit. The only thing that makes the church or the people thrive and shine like it ought to. Then we also notice that there's these golden pipes. The golden pipes would be symbolic of the means of grace. Symbolic of the means of grace. It's the way that the oil is conveyed to the lamp. It's the means that the Holy Spirit is able to fill and make that lamp shine when it's supposed to shine. So enough of the picture story here. Let's go to the application. There's seven pipes. So there's seven points of application tonight. Hold steady, it won't be that long. Someone may say, well, why didn't you break it up into seven different messages? I suppose I could have. Really? The first pipe that I want to look at this evening is a pipe that must remain open. It must not be allowed to clog with the dust of the world filling up into that oily pipe and plugging it up. You know what happens when it's going to plug up, right? has to be kept clean. If it's not cleaned, if it's not kept clean, it becomes plugged up and the light will go out. It won't be able to shine with its same brilliance, its same effectiveness. The first golden pipe that I want to look at in applying this to our personal lives is the pipe of humility. Why do we have to start with that one? Because it seems as though the ugliest person around has a sense of pride. Yeah. Yeah, I even fought it. Imagine it. You know, the ugliest person around has a sense of pride in something. Why? It's because it's part of the nature of humanity. I think I told you about the young man in the dorm when I was assistant dean at UBC, and he had all of his senior pictures scattered around on the top bunk of his bed, and I walked past and he was looking at all of these pictures, and he had scores of pictures on the top of his bed, and he said, "Eat your heart out, girls." He couldn't find a girlfriend. Had a nice car, seemed to have money in his pocket, but never had a date. Eat your heart out, girls. Never did figure it out. He's single to this day. Pride is an avowed enemy to humility. And the only way that a Christian light can shine as bright as it should is through the pipeline of humility. That's God's design. One of the deadliest sins, or the list of an abominable things in Proverbs 6:16, is what? Pride. Matter of fact, it heads the list of abominations. Perhaps we would do ourselves some good if we understood that the nature that is within the human heart, the most subtle of that nature is in the area of pride. Its power and its character can be so deceptive. So deceptive. It's hard for people to understand or to believe that they have a carnal pride that needs to be dealt with and taken care of and sacrificed on the altar. Slain on the altar. Peter said in his first epistle, chapter number 5, he said, "Be clothed with humility." We must keep the pipeline of humility clear, open. The second pipeline I want to look at this evening is the pipe of prayer. Okay, the pipeline of humility. We understand that pride will clog it up. What is it that would clog up the pipe, the golden pipe of prayer? Simple here again, isn't it? Prayerlessness. But let's bring it right into all one lump here, that we're not just talking about prayer, but we're talking about contact with God. It's a two-way street. So as we include, or we talk about prayer, let's also include God's avenue of speaking to us, which is the Bible, His Word. And I noticed that there was a lot of chapters read this week. It's wonderful. The golden pipe of prayer. What can clog it? What can plug it up? Prayerlessness. What is the cause of our prayerlessness? What is it that keeps us away from spending the time in contact, reading God's Word, or in communicating back to Him in prayer? Spending time with Him. It could be the feeling of self-sufficiency, which is attached to the previous pipe. I can get along myself. I can do it by myself. I can make this. I can get through this all right. I don't need anybody else's help. I don't need God right now. No, we may not be quite that bold in our statements, but when we leave God out of it, that's exactly what we're saying. Sometimes it may be circumstances in our life that bring us to the place where we have a lacking of a desire for fellowship with God. There are times that people go through situations that draws them away. They have a lacking of their desire to fellowship with Him because of circumstances. Sometimes it's just plain that we're too busy. We're too busy. Somebody said that the word busy is called an acronym or an acrostic? I'm not sure which word fits there, but it's one of those words that has a word for each letter. Busy, B-U-S-Y, being under Satan's yoke. How many times has that applied to us? We've been busy about so many things, and we have failed to be busy about what God wants us to be busy about, and that's keeping the channel clear, the pipeline clear. Even in the ministry, ministers can still be so busy doing God's work that this pipeline gets plugged. And if it's that way in the ministry, I believe that it's that much easier outside of the ministry. Luke chapter 18, I believe, in verse 1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. You see, we must keep that channel clear. We must keep that line of oil flowing through in order to keep the light shining like it should. The third pipe. We've already talked about this a little bit, or at least my wife did, and we tried to join in and participate. The pipeline of praise. The pipeline of praise. Psalm 100 verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. That's not just a suggestion, but that really is a command. When we come to Him, we ought to come to Him with praise. Why should it be so important and imperative for us to come with praise? Because He's worthy of our praise. And when we humble ourselves the way that we ought to be humbled and bring ourselves to His throne, we need to recognize the awesomeness of God, and it would stir us to praise. Stir us to be grateful to Him for what He has done for us and provided for us. And if nothing else, if there's nothing else in this world that God does for us, He's provided us salvation. A lack of joy and gratitude will stop up the pipe of praise. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And you also realize that the joy of the Lord is our light. It broadcasts what God has done within us with a desirable effect upon people around us. If we don't have anything to praise God about and praise God for, and it's not a true ring within us that we are praising Him, then the people we're talking to just might get the idea, well, if that's all the better their religion is, then I don't really think I need it. Number four, the golden pipe of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God. And without the oil of the Holy Spirit flowing through that pipe of faith into our lives as a vessel, a part of the church, without that faith our light will go out. It will be diminished. We will not have the effectiveness without faith. You see, faith is what it takes to hold us steady in the trying times. It's faith that is going to hold us steady in the midst of the testing times. It's faith that is going to hold us firm when temptation comes. It's faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For when we come to Him, we must come to Him believing that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The golden pipe of faith, we must keep it clear. The fifth pipe. The golden pipe of forgiveness. The golden pipe of forgiveness. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do we realize how much hinges on that two-letter word as? Forgive us our debts in the same way and in the same measure that we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our trespasses in the same way and measure that we forgive those who trespass against us. Wow. I don't find it in that passage that we are just to forgive our brothers and sisters in Christ or to forgive those that profess to be our brothers and sisters in Christ. Seems to me like we are to be forgiving even as Christ has forgiven us. The golden pipe of forgiveness. It's easy for us sometimes just to hide that one. Nobody needs to know about that lack of forgiveness there. Nobody needs to be understanding that there's a problem somewhere. You know, my wife is commenting that it's easy for us to come and go from the services and not make contact with every single person. Especially if you stop and talk to one person. Then, everybody, you know, a whole bunch can get out in just a matter of a couple of minutes. Nobody knows that it was deliberately done. You say, preacher, are you suggesting something here? No, I'm not suggesting. I'm just saying that that's a possibility and it's easily covered up when it does happen. But God will not move and God's light will not shine when there's forgiveness that is being withheld. When we plug up the pipe of forgiveness in our own life, God cannot allow His light to shine through us because that oil has been stopped. I guess I ought to move on here to number six. We're talking about the pipelines that are feeding the fires, the flames that are burning, and the oil of the Holy Spirit is flowing through them to keep the flame burning brightly so that that candlestick is what it ought to be. Number six, the golden pipe of desire. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Lack of desire for the things of God will definitely stop it up. Now I know, we're part of a world that is wrapped up in materialism and sometimes we would have to really fight against it ourselves. I understand that, but it's important that we do. Delight thyself in the Lord. Number seven, let's move on here to the last golden pipe. The golden pipe of surrender and consecration. Songwriter said, everything on the altar of sacrifice laid. And in that song, it's the question that is brought out. Is everything on the altar? is your all on the altar. It's a full surrender, a complete consecration. Paul said, it is no longer I, but Christ that dwelleth within me. Paul also made the statement that he would have to die daily. It's a daily consecration. It's a daily walking with God. It's a daily surrender, not just a one-time thing. Yeah, it takes place in a moment of time, but then it's a continual habit. It's a life lived. Nothing being held back, but holding completely to what God wants me to do and me to be, me to say, God being the focal point, the pipeline of complete surrender. When that pipeline is plugged up, our light to the world around us becomes darker. It becomes dimmed. That's the only way it is. We are the light of the world. Jesus tells us that very plain, very clear. And when we hide ourselves or when we plug up the pipelines, our light is not as brilliant or as bright as it ought to be. The golden pipes that provide the oil to make the fire burn on the candlestick. The application is not just painting a picture of what was taking place here in this particular passage, but the picture is being painted so that we can have a glimpse into a visual idea of what God wants out of us as His people. We are His people. We are a part of His church. And as a part of His church, He is providing the oil, the Holy Spirit, and He has provided the means of grace and the details of how that oil should be applied in our lives. Now, we've just listed seven for the sake of the picture here, but there's a number of others that we could look at. I'm sure we could probably sit down and think up seven more. But these definitely are a reality, a real part of what God expects out of our lives to keep the light shining brightly. Just seven. Are they all clear tonight so that your light can shine bright? Stand with me, please.